has appeared in Vrindavan in a blackish color known as Krishna. Previously, he had a white color, then a red color, then a yellow color. He also said that this boy was once the son of Vasudev, and everyone who knows of his previous birth calls him Vasudev. Actually, he said that my son has many varieties of names according to his different qualities and activities. Gargacharya assured me that this boy would be all auspicious for my family and that he would be able to give transcendental bliss, blissful pleasure to all the cowherd men and the cows of Vrindavan. Even though we would be put into various kinds of difficulty, by the grace of this boy we would be very easily freed from them. He also said that formerly this boy saved the world from an unregulated condition, and he saved all honest men from the hands of the dishonest thieves. He also said that any fortunate man who becomes attached to this boy Krishna is never vanquished or defeated by his enemy. On the whole, he is exactly like Lord Vishnu, who always takes the side of the demigods, who are consequently never defeated by the demons. Gargacharya thus concluded that my child would grow to be exactly like Vishnu in transcendental beauty, qualification, activities, influence, and opulence. And so we should not be very astonished by his wonderful activities. After telling me this, Gargacharya returned home, and since then we have been continually seeing the wonderful activities of this child. According to the version of Gargacharya, I consider that he must be Narayan himself, or maybe a plenary portion of Narayan. When all the cowherd men had very attentively heard the statements of Gargacharya through Nanda Maharaj, they better appreciated the wonderful activities of Krishna and became very jubilant and satisfied. They began to praise Nanda Maharaj because by consulting him, their doubts about Krishna were cleared. They said, "Let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us." When angry Indra sent torrents of rain accompanied by showers of ice blocks and high wind, Krishna immediately took compassion upon us and saved us and our families, cows, and valuable possessions by picking up Govardhan Hill just as a child picks up a mushroom. He saved us so wonderfully. May he continue to glance mercifully over us and our cows. May we live peacefully under the protection of wonderful Krishna. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 26th chapter of Krishna, Wonderful Krishna. Someone may ask, how did all the cows and the residents of Vrindavan fit under Govardhan Hill, which is only known to be 3 miles wide? And the answer was given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that because of the touch of the hand of Krishna, Govardhan Hill expanded out of ecstasy to a width of 33 miles wide. And he was feeling so much spiritual happiness that even though Indra was pounding him with thunderbolts that ordinarily would have caused great pain, he bore them as if they were pleasurable because of the ecstasy he was feeling from Krishna's hand. Sat, sat. Joe. Prayers by Indra, the King of Heaven. When Krishna saved the... Do you mind closing that door? Because that glare is unbearable. When Krishna saved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra by lifting Govardhan Hill, a Surabhi cow from Goloka Vrindavan, as well as King Indra from the heavenly planets, appeared before him. Indra, the King of Heaven, was conscious of his offense before Krishna. Therefore, he stealthily appeared before him in a secluded place. He immediately fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna, although his own crown was dazzling like sunshine. Indra knew about the exalted position of Krishna because Krishna is the master of Indra, but he could not believe that Krishna would come down and live in Vrindavan among the cowherd men. When Krishna defied the authority of Indra, Indra became angry because he thought that he was all in all within this universe and that no one was as powerful as he. But after this incident, his false, puffed-up prestige was destroyed. Being conscious of his subordinate position, he appeared before Krishna with folded hands and began to offer the following prayer. "My dear Lord," Indra said, "being puffed up by my false prestige, I thought that you had offended me by not allowing the cowherd men to perform the Indra Yajna, and I thought that you wanted to enjoy the offerings that were arranged for the sacrifice. I thought that in the name of Govardhan sacrifice, a Govardhan sacrifice, you were taking my share of profit, and therefore I mistook your position. Now, by your grace, I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, and that you are transcendental to all material qualities. Your transcendental position is Vishuddha Sattva, which is above the platform of the material mode of goodness, and your transcendental abode is beyond the disturbance of the material qualities. Your name, fame, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes are all beyond this material nature, and they are never disturbed by the three material modes. Your abode is accessible only for one who undergoes severe austerities and penances and becomes completely freed from the onslaught of material qualities like passion and ignorance. If someone thinks that when you enter within this material world, you accept the modes of material nature, he is mistaken. The waves of the material qualities are never able to touch you, and you certainly do not accept them when you are present within this world. Your lordship is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. My lord, you are the original father of this cosmic manifestation. You are the supreme spiritual master of the cosmic world, and you are the original proprietor of everything. As eternal time, you are competent to chastise offenders. Within this material world, there are many fools like me who consider themselves to be the supreme lord, or the all-in-all within the universe. You are so merciful that without accepting their offenses, you devise means so that their false prestige is subdued and they can know that you and no one else are the supreme personality of Godhead. My Lord, you are the supreme father, the supreme spiritual master, and the supreme king. Therefore, you have the right to chastise all living entities whenever there is a discrepancy in their behavior. The father, the spiritual master, and the supreme executive officer of the state are always well-wishers of their sons, the students and the citizens, respectively. As such, the well-wishers have the right to chastise their dependents. By your own desire, you appear auspiciously on the earth in your eternal varieties of forms. You come to glorify the earthly planet and specifically to chastise persons who are falsely claiming to be God. In the material world, there is regular competition between different types of living entities to become supreme leaders of society. And after being frustrated in achieving the supreme positions of leadership, foolish persons claim to be God, the supreme personality. There are many such foolish personalities in this world, like me. But in due course of time, when they come to their senses, they surrender unto you and again engage themselves properly by rendering service unto you. And that is the purpose of your chastising persons envious of you. My dear Lord, I committed a great offense unto your lotus feet, being falsely proud of my material opulences, not knowing your unlimited power. Therefore, my Lord, kindly excuse me because I am fool number one. Kindly give me your blessings so that I may not act so foolishly again. If you think, my Lord, that the offense is very great and cannot be excused, then I appeal to you that I am your eternal servant. You appear in this world to give protection to your eternal servants and to destroy the demons who maintain great military strength just to burden the very existence of the earth. As I am your eternal servant, kindly excuse me. My dear Lord, you are the supreme personality of Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the supreme person and the supreme soul. You are the son of Vasudeva and you are the supreme Lord, Krishna, the master of all pure devotees. Please accept my prostrated obeisances. You are the personification of supreme knowledge. You can appear anywhere according to your desire in any one of your eternal forms. You are the root of all creation and the supreme soul of all living entities. Due to my gross ignorance, I created a great disturbance in Vrindavan by sending torrents of rain and a heavy hailstorm. I acted out of severe anger caused by your stopping the sacrifice which was to be held to satisfy me. But, my dear Lord, you are so kind to me that you have bestowed your mercy upon me by destroying all my false pride. I therefore take shelter of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, you are not only the supreme controller, but also the spiritual master of all living entities. Thus praised by Indra, Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of God, had smiled beautifully and then replied in a grave voice like a rumbling cloud. My dear Indra, I stopped your sacrifice just to show you my causeless mercy and to remind you that I am your eternal master. I am the master not only of you, but of all other demigods as well. You should always remember that all your material opulences are due to my mercy. No living entity can independently become opulent. One must be favored by my mercy. Everyone should always remember that I am the Supreme Lord. I can show anyone my favor, and I can chastise anyone, because no one is superior to me. If I find someone overpowered by false pride, in order to show him my causeless mercy, I withdraw all his opulences. It is noteworthy that Krishna sometimes removes all of a rich man's opulences in order to facilitate his becoming a soul surrendered unto him. This is a special favor of the Lord's. Sometimes it is seen that a person is very opulent materially, but due to his devotional service to the Lord, he may be reduced to poverty. One should not think, however, that because he worshipped the Supreme Lord, he became poverty-stricken. The real purport is that when a person is a pure devotee, but at the same time, by miscalculation, wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord shows his special mercy by taking away all material opulences until at last he surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. Verse? There's some other ones too from the 11th canto about how the Lord deals with people. Hare Krishna. Jai. You just coming from a program? What car? Hari Guru's car? Like a hermit crab. After instructing Indra, Lord Krishna asked him to return to his kingdom in the heavenly planets. Can you find that verse in the 11th canto where the Lord says that if someone takes the devotional service but he has material attachments, he rectifies the situation? Okay.
Nami harishe tadanang shanaihi tato tanang tityantyasya svachana dukkadukitam.
After this, the transcendental Surabhi cow, who had come with Indra to see Krishna, offered her respectful obeisances unto him and worshipped him. The Surabhi offered her prayer as follows. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the most powerful of all mystic yogis because you are the soul of the complete universe, and only from you has all this cosmic manifestation taken place. Therefore, although Indra tried his best to kill my descendant cows in Vrindavan, they remained under your shelter. You have protected them so well. We do not know anyone else as the Supreme, nor do we go to any other god or demigods for protection. Therefore, you are our Indra. You are the Supreme Father of the whole cosmic manifestation. You are the protector and elevator of the cows, Brahmins, demigods, and others who are pure devotees of your lordship. O super soul of the universe, let us bathe you with our milk, for you are our Indra. O Lord, you appear just to diminish the burden of impure activities on the earth. Then the Surabhi cow bathed Krishna with her milk, and Indra bathed him with the water of the celestial Ganges through the trunk of his carrier elephant. After this, the Surabhi cows and all the demigods and their mothers joined the heavenly king Indra in worshipping Lord Krishna by bathing him with Ganges water and the milk of the Surabhis. Thus Govinda, Lord Krishna, was pleased with all of them. The resonance of all the higher planetary systems such as Gandharva Loka, Vidyadhara Loka, Siddha Loka, and Charna Loka all combined and glorified the Lord by chanting his holy name as their wives and damsels dance in great joy. They very much satisfy the Lord by incessantly pouring flowers from the sky. Bringing in the artillery. When everything was very nicely and joyfully settled, the cows overflooded the surface of the earth with their milk. The water of the rivers began to flow with various tasty liquids and give nourishment to the trees, producing fruits and flowers of different colors and tastes. The trees began to pour drops of honey. The hills and mountains began to produce potent medicinal plants and valuable stones. Because of Lord Krishna's presence, all these things happened very nicely. There's a verse in that, Queen Kunti. Neha shobishite yatra yati danam gadanara padarankita bhati salakshana vilakshitai. Then, ime jana pradasvidha surida. Can you grab a first canto, please? because of Krishna's presence, all these happen very nicely. Oh, it's one about how Krishna says that if someone takes to devotional service but he still has material desires. I'm not giving you much to go on, am I? Here's from Queen Kunti.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah?
Da.
Sridha supakaushwa supakaushari virudaha vanadri nadyudanvanto yedante tava vikshitai. Ime. Purport. Human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. The gigantic industrial enterprises are products of godless civilization, and they cause the destruction of the noble aims of human life. The more we go on increasing such troublesome industries to squeeze out the vital energy of the human being, the more there will be unrest and dissatisfaction of the people in general, although a few only can live lavishly by exploitation. The natural gifts such as grains and vegetables, fruits, rivers, the hills of jewels and minerals, and the seas full of pearls are supplied by the order of the Supreme. And as he desires, material nature produces them in abundance or restricts them at times. The natural law is that the human being may take advantage of these godly gifts by nature and satisfactorily flourish on them without being captivated by the exploitative motive of lording it over material nature. The more we attempt to exploit material nature according to our whims of enjoyment, the more we shall become entrapped by the reaction of such exploitative attempts. If we have sufficient grains, fruits, vegetables, and herbs, then what is the necessity of running a slaughterhouse and killing poor animals? A man need not kill an animal if he has sufficient grains and vegetables to eat. The flow of river waters fertilizes the fields, and there is more than what we need. Minerals are produced in the hills and the jewels in the ocean. If the human civilization has sufficient grains, minerals, jewels, water, milk, etc., then why should it hanker after terrible industrial enterprises at the cost of the labor of some unfortunate men? But all these natural gifts are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. What we need, therefore, is to be obedient to the laws of the Lord and achieve the perfection of human life by devotional service. The indications by Kunti Devi are just to the point. She desires that God's mercy be bestowed upon them so that natural prosperity be maintained by His grace. Janapada, cities and towns, means where people walk around, right?
Pada means position.
Position, place. Janapada, cities, the place of the people.
This is short A, right?
This is a short A, long A. Pada. Padaha.
The long A is considered.
It's the long A in the beginning, Pada.
Then it would people's
feet. The end is just A.
Janapada, where people are situated.
It's actually two shortens.
It's plural, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sridha, flourished. Supakva, nice. Supakva, mature. Supakva. Like Tyaktva. Sadharma chananam bhujam bharer bhujana pakvo ta patetato yadi. Ashaudi, herbs. Virudaha, vegetables. Vana, forest. Adri, hills. Nadi, rivers. Udanvanta, seas. He certainly, ehante, increasing. Tava by you. Vikshitai, seen. Ime jana parasridha supakvaushadi virudaha. But Adri Nadudanvanto Hidante Tavivikshidai. Did you find anything? Didn't give you enough to go on. Pakva. Yeah. That's right. Is it there?
No.
Maybe I marked it in the 11th canto. I did at home, but maybe not here. I think you got it. Oh, false alarm. kavyastavesha prama yushapi kridam rida mudas maranta yontar bahis tanubritam ashuban vatun van acharya chaitya vapusha swakatim vyanakti. Oh, I see markers. That's a good sign.